Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, let's say what's happening to Vaughn Thiel.
What's up, man?
How's it going, bro?
I'm cool, bro. I'm easy.
I feel like I see you every day because I see your Snapchat. I'm trying to think what you've done in it. I'll tell you now what Vaughn's been up to in the past 24 hours. Let me just look him up on... Oh, no, you haven't done anything in the past.
No, but wait, I have. Let me put it up. I see it failed now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What is this, a snap of you at Cliff Central?
No.
Oh.
Yesterday at 7:46 p.m.
Okay. While you put that up and I refreshed, what's happening, Pumba?
How's it? Okay. What's up, boy?
Good, good. Good. Well, you're in a very good mood because you won at poker last night.
Yeah, I had a good night. Yeah. Like, it started off kind of bad, but then, yeah, I just, like, started folding a lot more and playing good hands. So, ended up cashing out quite a bit. Yeah.
How many hours at a time do you play for?
I play for long. We started at about 7, and yesterday I left at about 1 this morning.
Huh. Wow. Jeez.
And I take no breaks. I just sit there in concentration. It's like a test match for me.
My word.
It's intense, bro.
Yeah.
That's hella intense.
How long have you been playing? I mean, I have no idea how you even play poker.
I've been playing for years now. I think about 12 years now.
Wow.
Like, straight after high school, I learned how to jam, and then I've been reading books and... I'm taking it quite seriously, actually. Huh. I'd love to go pro. Any sponsors out there? Hey?
Well, you're putting in the time. You're putting in the time.
So,
Vaughn, let's have a look what you've been at. Oh, you were eating Krispy Kreme donuts.
My brother, that's the one. That's the last one I put up.
And that's it.
Yeah, I know. That was love.
That's all you have to show for your life in the past 24 hours.
Only in the past 24 hours that I have to show.
I think I need to get onto the Snapchat, man. Like,
I don't know.
But on the weekend, on Saturday, I was snapping, though. Snapping everywhere. Yeah, bro.
There you were. You were shaving people's hair.
Yeah, I was cutting my homie's hair. Bro, I was in it.
So what's happening to Schmangs? What's happening, bro?
Good evening.
Actually, I should rather be saying, hi, bro. How's Ultra?
Was it lekker?
Guys, Ultra was good, man. I'm not like the craziest person about EDM, but this year was so good. They had a deep house stage. So on Friday it was organized by Soul Candy, which is great because they just got like all the best DJs that I love. And then on Saturday it was called the Resistance stage, and then they had like amazing acts.
So it was 2 days this, because I saw people tweeting about it like on Friday nights, and I was like, so were there 2 nights of Ultra?
Yeah. So it was.
So
two
you
nights.
Bought 2 tickets.
No, I was working there.
Okay. The last is because some people I saw went on both nights, and I'm like, I don't think you would have gotten a free ticket. So obviously bought 2.
No. So you could get a weekend pass. I think weekend pass was like 1,200 rand, and then if you bought like just one day, it was like 700 rand or something like that.
But now, Schmangs, you say you were working, and I believe you. But then I also see on your Facebook like squads, like squadrons of people, like rented vans to get to Ultra that you were in. You've been tagged in these photos.
it just so happened that a lot of my friends were going, so we sort of, you know, we jumped in the Uber van all together.
There you go. I wish everyone could see your Facebook. He's got slow mo shots of the Ultra boys in with a hashtag. Says yeah, too legit to quit, and then it's like, you know when you've been caught mid slow mo.
Sure.
It was genuine. That's a genuine shot. Like we were nonchalant, just walking into Ultra as one does. Yeah.
So, I'm not gonna say who it was that told me this, but I did hear that they didn't want a lot of filming going on at Ultra because they were worried about the condition that a lot of the people that go are in. So I've never been before, but I mean, is it like you turn the corner and people are snorting coke? What is
no,
the vibe?
Not at all. Oh, yeah. I think there's quite a huge difference from the first one that they had in 2014, and they had one last year, I didn't go, and then this year, I went again. And I think, I mean, because it was the first time that they ever brought it to the country, they weren't quite sure what to expect. So the first one, there was quite a lot of, you know, it was a little disorganized in some departments.
Okay.
And people did get out of hand, and there were a fair amount of people under the age. You know, obviously illegally there. Mm. Whereas this year, they clamped down. I mean, they pretty much, if you looked even remotely, maybe even 20, they ask you for your ID.
Yeah.
You know, if you look like me, it's all good.
Did you get off at any drugs at all?
No, not at all. They had so much security in and outside the venue. It was insane. I mean, the last time, there were quite a few fights broke out, obviously, outside of the venue.
Yeah.
This year, as soon as Oaks, like, looked like they were trying some shit.
Yeah.
Out of here.
Out of here, man.
So it was well controlled. It was much better. It was also more diverse this year, which was obviously a plus, and it's reflective that people are quite open to new things.
So let's talk about what was the best space to be in this weekend. Was it Ultra or was it the Metro FM Music Awards? If you had to choose, which would have been the better ticket? You can go to either.
I'm very biased. So I was meant to go to the metros, but the organizers actually fucked up our travel arrangements.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. So I won't get into that. I was meant to go to the metros, but it was a mixed blessing because my favorite DJ in the entire world.
Skrillex.
No. Oh. It was Seth Troxler. A guy called Seth Troxler. He's been like in the top 5 best DJs probably since like 2009 in the world.
Hang on, producer Kat, you know Seth, right?
Who?
She's not a deep house aficionado. Seth Troxler.
Sorry, never heard of him, bro.
Yeah. I think producer Kat isn't like into Tiesto and that kind of. I'll forgive her. So he was in the country, and this is like I think his third time, you know, coming to South Africa, but the first time he's played on an international stage.
Cool.
In South Africa, and it was cool. It was really cool.
That's dope.
Puma, you didn't do Ultra, you didn't do the Metro FM Awards. No, you were winning at poker.
Yeah, but if I had to, I'd pick the Metros, man. I'm not really into like the whole Tomorrowland Ultra type thing.
Did you see any stuff coming out of the Metros?
Unfortunately, on Saturday night, I was at a gig in Soweto at The Rock, so I missed it, but it was playing on TV in the back, but unfortunately, I missed it, yeah.
I think, like, the Metros are flipping epic, like, it's an epic weekend away. I've been to the Metros in PE, so, I mean, when I was still at Varsity, we went down to PE for the Metros, and it was actually insane. So, I think Durban must have been the biggest
turnout ever. Yeah, the after party must have been insane.
Personally, I have no regrets.
I'd take the Metros too.
Yeah.
Because just that's more my vibe, I think. Yeah. The Ultra stuff is pretty cool, but the last time I went to something like that was one of those H2O parties. And I've never went back there. But I was like, hell no.
let me tell you everyone. So I think the big difference between this one and the first one that I went to is that now they had this stage which could really cater to, you know, a different fan base, a different ear. Okay. So I mean, I will be blunt about it. The majority of, let's say, I think the black kids and sort of maybe the colored Indian kids. Colored and blacks mostly were at the either Soul Candy or Resistance stage, which was, you know, more for the deep house. But that's where Black Coffee was at. And like other big acts from South Africa.
Okay.
So it was nice and diverse in that way. Yeah, it was catered for. And then 5 FM also hosted their own stage with a diverse lineup of DJs from Morris to Milkshake to, you know, so there was there was diversity, which was really good.
So two really big music events over the weekend. But the thing that everybody's talking about on Monday, the thing that gets 510 retweets, 124 likes, is Beats by Tweezy tweeting at the Metro FM Music Awards, "I contributed to 5 wins, but I had to buy a Golden Circle ticket to witness the glory. Producers must rise." So when we're zooming out at the business of music in a South African context, right? Yeah. And we're looking at what's actually happening. So Ultra, phenomenal, great. But those EFTs for Skrillex go to Skrillex, who does not live in South Africa.
No doubt.
Those are EFTs for Diplo, who else?
Seth Troxler.
Troxler doesn't have a house in KwaZulu-Natal. Troxler lives overseas. Troxler takes his rands and converts them to dollars. And then also in a local context, producers having to buy tickets to an awards show. I mean, I don't know how it works internationally, but I do think that in terms of the business of music, two massive music events, and how positive are they for the South African business of music?
I agree with Tweezy, man. I think producers have to get noticed. I think it's unfair that they get swept to the side, bro.
Absolutely. I think beyond that, it's a point that jazz legend Don Laka raised on Facebook, I think about 2 weeks ago, when he was talking about how we don't actually support our own content.
Well, he wants Metro to cut all the international music, Don Laka.
Well, not cut it in total. I think YFM is the only commercial radio station, either in Gauteng or in the country, that has a 60-40 split where 60% of it has to be local music and content, 40% international. Whereas you have big stations like 5 Metro, whoever, and they are ridiculous. It's like 35-65 or 30-70, where international to local, which is bizarre considering. I mean, I've been to maybe about 6 or 7 African countries, and nowhere besides South Africa do they play more international stuff than their own. It's bizarre. It makes no sense for me.
Yeah, but bro, we're also living in a time, you know, a space and time where the thing that most people are excited about is Nicki Minaj coming here in like a month or two, or T.I.
But that's only because we don't celebrate our own.
I know, but like, I don't know how we, because everybody says that, but the same people that are saying that, someone must be supporting the international people and buying the tickets.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing Casper filled up the dome or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic, but somebody's buying the tickets for all these international people. Someone's fueling that. Clearly, Metro FM thinks that if they went 100% local, they wouldn't have the advertisers. I don't know where the disconnect is, because there's a disconnect. Everyone I speak to is like, push local, push local. But then, where are you spending your money? Because Ultra, I mean, will make truckloads of money out of bringing out predominantly international acts, because I got a feeling, I don't know for a fact, but I think that the international acts is where 90% of the budget goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think for the local guys, it's that you're affiliated with Ultra, and so that's as good as it's going to get. You're not going to even charge your standard rate. Mm. I think. I don't know. It's what I've heard.
Yeah.
So I don't know where the disconnect is, because everyone's like, push local, but that means you have to buy it.
Look, I understand that America, for example, is the hotbed and the epicenter of everything entertainment. So, understandably, if you go to America, you're going to consume mostly American music and content, right? On their radio stations, everywhere, TV, everything. But I mean, you go to other countries where, like, the Britain will push more British stuff than American stuff. More. You go to South Korea, you go to Taiwan, you go
they
to all these
all
countries.
Their local stuff
they
more
push
than
their stuff
the international
more.
Stuff.
If you take a platform like Channel O, who, when they initially started, it was mostly international stuff, and you have to look at Channel O now, and you look at their programming, you look at their stuff.
A lot more local.
It's a lot more local, a lot more African music, a lot more. And they have way more subscribers now, and more viewers to Channel O. And that goes for, you have to give the people opportunity. Vuzu used to buy a lot of programming.
Yeah.
And we've seen, even with the entertainment, that people want more local. Obviously, it costs a little bit more to produce, but people want more. As soon as they can get more quality local content, they'll consume it for sure.
I agree. I think, I don't know, man, like, when I think about why it is that South Africa, us as a nation, first of all, I think local has gotten a lot better. We have started supporting our local talents a lot better than we did
out
before.
Out of necessity, because otherwise the artists just don't make money.
Yeah. So we've started supporting them on their hustle. So we like Casper's music, we like AK's, we buy it, we go pay to watch him perform. You know, we do that now, whereas before it wasn't always the case, right? So I think there is a bit of progression. However, it's interesting that we are the only other country that supports more international than we support our own local music or our own local artists. And I think there's probably like a psychological thing behind that. Like, why is it that we are the only country that does that? It can't be that our performers are not good enough. It can't be anything like that. It's got to be something psychological. Maybe it's got to... I don't know what it is.
No, it's insecurity.
I'm thinking about that too, yeah. I think it could be something in our mentality that doesn't want us to see our own succeed to a certain degree.
But
or
this,
I
think,
this,
yeah,
I think when it comes to something like that, with the radio stations playing majority international, I think they know that it's a safe bet. You know, they know that if they play Nicki Minaj or whatever, they guarantee to get the listeners. And with the local content, I don't know if... Maybe they don't have the confidence in playing 100% local, you know. I think that's the reason they don't have the confidence. And
if I had to be honest with you, I think it's just due to a lack of leadership and a lack of foresight. Maybe these people aren't traveling. Maybe these people don't do comparative studies. Maybe these people don't do all the necessary things in order to see how we benchmark against other nations. You know, in China, and I know in India, for example, Bollywood in the sort of late 70s, and this goes with China as well, they were consuming mostly American and Hollywood stuff. And then they legislated it that they actually need to put more local stuff on their TVs, more local movies. The government pumped a lot of money into developing the film industry there. Look at Bollywood now.
Look at
the Chinese cinema industry right now. Chinese consume, you know, way more Chinese content and movies than any other Western media.
Yeah.
And if you look at America, Hollywood takes so much, so many ideas. They do so many remakes of Japanese and Chinese movies.
It's so true.
And it's evident.
So
if our government doesn't legislate it to say, guys, you actually, in order for us to promote our own, in order for us to be able to be self-sustainable, it's got to be written in paper, and this is the law. And until we do that, we're just not going
to... And
now, get to the place where you need
going
to
back to the producers must rise. Is it now everybody who was involved in making the track now must get like VIP to the metros, or where does Like, you just want the artist and producer.
So. Yeah, so I think like, not everybody involved, man. Because, I could sit in the studio while we're recording a song and say, hey, man, let's do that rather than that. And it doesn't necessarily mean I'm involved in the track. True. But if you're the artist, the guy who raps... You see, the thing is, the problem with South African music, and especially in the hip-hop industry, is that generally people think it's all the rapper. It's all the guy that writes the lyrics and he raps, right? And he's got a good melody. It's not just that, dude. Mm. Producers play such a massive role in an artist's success. Like, beyond what you understand until you are a producer and an artist. Because a producer will tell you, don't do it like that. Don't say it like that. Rather do it like this. No, hey, that verse must come at the back. Let's start with this. The first words are not making sense. Change it up. Like, they have so much. They put so much into a track that for them not to get acknowledged, or for him to not even get a ticket to come there, sure, or backstage, or to get anything to that degree, is a little bit bad. And I think at some point a guy like Tweezy, who's had such a big influence on the hip hop industry in South Africa, he's done really well, man. He's produced some of the hottest tracks in South Africa, right, over the last like 3-4 years maybe. So a guy that type of role he's played in the industry should be rewarded. There should be like a producer of the year or whatever the case may be at something like the Metro. Yeah. Because they play a vital role in the music we hear. It's not just the artists. It's not just the rappers. It's not even close to being just them.
But I think like when the artist wins an award, I'm pretty sure he gives like a cut to the producer.
Yeah,
wait, guys. If we're talking about being invited to an award ceremony or having a particular category that celebrates, you know, a particular field,
I'm saying
those
are two different
things. I don't think it's Metro FM's prerogative to invite Tweezy as a VIP guest. What needs to happen is that whoever he's affiliated with, or whoever, whether it's AKA for the stuff that he's done with AKA or for Questa or whoever, they should organize. Yeah.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Fair enough. At the end of the day, unless there's a category that celebrates you, and for me, it makes no sense.
But I think Tweezy was more saying, like, if I understand from where he's coming from, I don't think it was necessarily the fact that he should buy a ticket. I think it was, I bought a ticket to witness the glory that I participated in, which actually should be something I should win too. So I should be nominated or play or win an award for producer of the year. If I played a role in 5 award-winning songs, that surely says something. You know, that surely says that I deserve some type of recognition. You know, so I understand where he's coming from. I kind of support what he's saying, because there should be that. Because creatively, dude, those guys put so much into it.
I absolutely agree. Look, at the Grammys, you have a producer category.
Yeah.
But what is he saying? Is he saying that we need a producer's category?
Yeah, he's saying he needs recognition. He wants credit for that. He wants recognition. Absolutely. So he needs to be awarded something. I feel like I support
that. Fully agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, look, we did manage to get a hold of some of his new music that he's produced.
Mm-hmm.
Tweezy, obviously inspired by recent occurrences at the Metro FM, has produced a new song. It sounds very familiar to something I've heard before, though.
I knew it.
As we shift gears to talk about this. Now, I don't understand why everyone is so invested in Leonardo DiCaprio winning the Oscar. I woke up this morning and I was like, but I get it, it's dope, he was nominated, but I think people are more invested in him winning that Oscar than he was invested in winning that. Like, I see people, and I'm like, you're in the bottom of South Africa changing your avatar to a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, he's dope, but I don't get the
hype.
I don't get why everyone else is so invested.
It's because it's been a long time coming. Like, if you're a Leo fan, like, from a while, this is, like, a moment you've been waiting for. Although, yes, I agree with you, the movie that he won for was not, like, his best, I think. But it's just because it's been so long and you've just wanted him to win it.
But, everyone's, you know, debating whether we should give the Oscars plausibility because of the fact that, you know, it's clearly skewed. Well, I mean, it's just white people that get nominated at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the same sentence, the same people that are calling out the Oscars for being so white and being prejudiced are then promoting that the Oscars is the ultimate price. Reward in terms of being an actor.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like that there is, so you can't, I don't feel like you can in one tweet say, oh, the Oscars are so unfair, but then in the other tweet, you say that the Oscars are the be all and end all to the extent that if Leo hadn't won, he's not a great, like, people are giving that award show so much credit, but then trying to take it away in the same sentence, which I don't get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with you, man. Because after the whole Oscar thing happened, before it was hosted, I was kind of like, I had a bad taste in my mouth, where I was like, oh man, this is, and then I see that Chris Rock is the MC, and he's a black guy, why can't, you know, I just had a bad taste in my mouth. So when Leo won, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, I know he's been waiting for one forever. I wasn't so over the moon. I was happy for him. Like, that's great for you. But at the same time, I felt like I don't know how much credibility I can give the Oscars anymore if this is the way they conduct themselves.
No, I don't know.
So I just left it. I just kind of said to myself, whatever.
I completely get that whole the Oscar so white thing, you know, the controversy that's surrounded that.
Yeah, man.
But in the same vein, I think that boycotting it and doing those kind of things, they absolutely don't help. Like John Singleton, you know, an acclaimed black director, he said the only way we can change the status quo is A, to be involved, and B, not just be involved in terms of producing or acting, but we need to be involved within the organizational structures
of
the Oscars themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you can't have, out of 80 people, 50 of them are men, and they're over the age of 60, and they're white. That just doesn't work in this day and age, you know? So the only way we can actually change the status quo is if we get involved in all structures of the movie-making business.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good response, because to me it just wasn't making sense to call out the Oscars this year and say that there's no plausibility because there's no people of color, but then in the same sentence give it all the plausibility in the world by saying congratulations to Leo, finally it's time. Yeah. So that didn't make... But there is... some truth in what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, and this is across all awards shows. I don't ever like the idea of one awards show and one statuette saying, with this, you are now the best at something that is wildly subjective, which is art. Whether it's Metro FM saying, you know what, Fifi Cooper, we think that you're the best hip-hop artist in the... whatever it may be. I don't know why we... even allow, I mean, I understand the culture of it and the culture's great, but this idea that one stamp of approval or one statuette makes you the best at something in the world, in the most subjective industry, it just doesn't always make so much sense to me. But I like watching it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense to me.
And also, particularly
maybe I'm saying this because I've never won one.
And because the people that actually put you in the, on that pedestal aren't professional actors themselves. I think something like the SAG is more, has more credibility than the Oscars, personally, because those are actually actors and directors and producers.
I kind of like that. I like it when it's like your fellow actors voted you the best for the year,
for that year.
Because they watched your movie and they thought you were excellent. So that's cool to me. But I agree with you, though. I agree with you. I also think it's a...
or is it just what people spend their money on? It's just because then maybe Transformers should be the picture of the year.
For sure. I think with everything, guys, we need to understand that there's politics involved.
Yeah.
With the metros, there's politics. I mean, I don't know if you saw, Don Lacadene wrote a whole piece on Facebook this weekend. I think he'd probably get blocked again by Facebook, but he basically said that he spoke to the music compiler there, and if you want to get your song playlisted, you have to pay an X amount.
I know that's like a bribe.
100% bribe. If you want your song to be played on high rotation, you gotta pay a bigger bribe. Now if you want a Metro FM nomination, you gotta pay X amount.
Seriously.
Whether it's true or not, I mean, I'm not saying it's true, but I'm just saying we need to understand that there's politics, and it doesn't sound far-fetched, you know?
No, it doesn't.
Take nothing away from Fifi.
I remember...
But, guys, is she the best female?
I was like,
in
2015,
I saw an interview that Casper did, and he was saying that it's great that Metro FM are giving like 100,000 for each award and all that, but then he said, but now that just means that there's probably going to be corruption now, like people trying to rig to win the awards, you know?
Yeah, listen,
so it's a good and a bad thing.
I don't understand why they went in. I think it's cool in one sentence. I think in the other sentence, it's so different to any other awards show in the world.
I don't like it.
That you get this. I mean, at the Oscars, I think you get a gift bag, which is $22,000. And that's okay, because that's brands.
Yeah.
But this idea of, you know, Metro FM, the music awards,
in a weird way,
being like a lottery as well.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't know.
In a weird way for me, when you put money towards, when you tag money to an award, you kind of cheapify it. That's how I feel.
I don't know.
I kind of feel like it's tricky. Like,
it's tricky because maybe in South African context, the artists, they, we need money to develop the industry. They need money to spend it on production. So I don't know.
I'm being biased
because I think I'm jumping in the stew next month. So, you know, I'd like to wear one of those.
Anyway, that's all we got time for. Let's go around the room though and get closing remarks. I'm not going to guard it in any way. Just final things that need to be said.
I think in any game or any industry or any platform that you're playing in, you need to understand the politics before you run your mouth.
And be okay with it.
And be okay with it, you know.
It's not fair.
It isn't fair. Don't complain if Mini or Boiti or Bonang keep getting the gigs and you're not. It's not fair. That's the way it is. You got to work your ass off. Simple as that. Understand the politics, understand the players, and play the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Fifi Cooper is not the best rapper in the country. yeah, man, like Metro FM's, congratulations to everybody that won. Congratulations to Leo. I'm a big Leo fan, man. I think he is one of the greatest actors. And for him to win the Oscar, props to him, you know. Yeah, I had a great weekend.
Finally, everyone recognized him.
Yeah.
And he's been doing good work all along. That's true. Showing like awards shows.
All right, well, that's it. Thanks.
Yeah, to add on to what Shmang says, I think you got to know and understand the difference between being good at the game and playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the talented people are very rarely at the top.
Yeah.
It's at Shmangs on Twitter. It's at Pumba_07 on Twitter and at Vaughn the Poet on Twitter. That there is the GRT. Yep.